from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn. What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Primetime.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that open reminded me. They said, you know, it's like the, if you have time to explore the mind of a stripper.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that and thought of a little tease forward that tonight in the club, I'm going to present to you the top four professions for men that know how to do it the best.
Oh, all right.
It's from a hooker.
She would know, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, she would
know. Is out there slinging that wood?
She put out the list of, hey, here are the four best in bed professions.
You know what's up?
Yeah.
Radio host, number one.
Clearly.
Yeah. Softy up there getting her done.
What?
The great Iron Furnace, Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, I've never seen so much dong in my life.
I've said that so many times whenever I hear that open. There is nothing funnier in this world than like a smart educator, like a doctor or a lawyer, pretending that what the stripper has to say is interesting and that she's like really, and then like he's like, oh no, she's really smart. She's great to talk to. I'm sure she is, dude. I'm just sure she's just blowing your mind right now with her.
Look at you just crapping all over strippers. Strippers are people too.
Yes, they
Jason.
Are. But it is great when one starts talking about astrology or, you know, whatever, and there's just some guy that's like, yeah, it's so captivating, the conversation. I'm sure it was. And by the way, I will admit something. I didn't know we had a mixed relay team until today.
Boy, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was looking at that going, wait, huh? When did that start?
Yeah.
Have they always done mixed relays?
I don't know. So I saw the headline today when I...
And by the way, mixed relay is two men, two women.
Yeah. It's not like a wheelbarrow race sort of thing. That's I had no
two
idea.
Two trans, two...
Yeah. That's in boxing. We... which turned out not even to be a true story, but the internet freaked out over it.
True story.
I clicked on the headline today. I saw U.S. sets record in relay. And my first question was,
hell yeah,
male or female? So I clicked on it.
Both.
And the photo popped up. And I was confused because I'm not going to lie. My first thought was, is that... one of the gals had her head shaved with like earrings. And I was like, wait, is that a guy? But then I was like, it was lipsticks. And then I was like, well, you can't be sure nowadays. And I was trying to like zoom in on the other, I couldn't tell. And then I was like, oh, there's men and women. And I was like, well, and that's when I realized we had a mixed relay and I scrolled down, had no idea.
Apparently they're really good.
No clue. Yeah. I guess we're fast.
World record.
We're breaking
good.
World records. If you would have asked me today to bet $1,000, do we have a mixed relay team? With no hesitation, I would have been like, no, we don't have a mixed. That's not a thing. Here, take my money. And I would have been wrong.
So, what was I going to tell you?
Don't know.
I had something for you. Oh, I know what it was. Vancouver Ford text line. somebody said DeBoer was very even keeled, but Fish has the potential to be new Heisel level hated by us Oregon fans.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's so right.
Yes.
And then that got me to wondering, and I have to ask you guys this because Don James, you know, those guys a little before my time. Mm-hmm. Is Neuheisel the most hated Washington coach around these parts, or was Don James?
I don't think Oregon was good enough to hate Don James. It was on a different level.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, most of my Oregon history is not before 2003 when I came to school here, but I believe that it's Neuheisel.
They just were alley whipping you so bad. There wasn't anything you could do.
They didn't really have a lot of. So after Don James, you had Lambright. Yeah. Then it went to Neuheisel. Yeah.
Neuheisel was.
And they hated him.
Yes.
I mean, he was...
Well, you should. He was poking bears.
So, Keith Gilbertson, Tyrone Willingham, no. Steve Sarkisian.
They probably loved Ty Willingham.
Well, he sucked.
I mean, exactly.
11-37.
Oregon fans probably like, he's the best UW coach of all time.
Sark.
Seven-win Sark wasn't hateable. They weren't any good.
He had a winning record, but yeah, he wasn't even hateable, if they were good. He was a pretty nice guy.
And Chris Peterson's a nice guy.
Peterson was great.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lake. But Lake, it was only one season.
Yeah, Lake could have been.
Jimmy Lake.
Lake could have been hateable. Remember, he was the dumbass that was like, we don't recruit against Oregon. We recruit against academic peers like Stanford. Good one, Jimmy.
Okay.
Okay.
Who is your most hated coach in any, like anywhere? Because I have one, a major one that when I was a kid, just he was.
Oh, well, you know mine. I mean, it's not even close.
Well, are we talking about
just football?
As a fan, or are you talking about playing?
Oh, I'm just talking about, like, as a
no,
person.
No, you're talking about Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight. No, I'm saying, like, the coach that you hated because your team, like, maybe they beat your team or they stuck in the craw of your team.
As
or
a fan that. Growing up, it was Tommy Lasorda, and it wasn't close.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, because I mean, like, you're a Giants
and
guy.
And the Giants weren't that great. The Dodgers were better, yeah. And he was just a ham, and he was the guy who poked the bear. Yeah. Couldn't stand Tommy.
For me, it was Norm Stewart. Do you remember Norm Stewart?
Where was Norm Stewart?
He was the Missouri basketball coach.
Oh.
And he was really good. And yeah. They were really good. And he played up the KU rivalry so well. He was so good at poking us.
Yeah.
So we all hated him.
Huh.
But now, looking back as an adult, I'm like, he was great. Yeah. He was pretty fun for the rivalry.
I don't have anything locally. I mean, like, growing up here in the Northwest, my brother was a Coug, so we rooted for Washington State. But I can't say that I don't think I was really old enough to appreciate any sort of Husky coach hatred. And I got recruited by those coaches, so I didn't hate any of those guys. Oregon, I didn't hate Bellotti. I didn't hate Brooks. Oregon State wasn't hateable. You didn't even think, how are you going to hate Pettibone? Like, no.
I mean, the only guy at Oregon State that maybe... But he wasn't there long enough, was Erickson.
Yeah.
But not...
Yeah.
He just wasn't there long enough.
I'd say, on a national basis, growing up for me, I really didn't like Coach K. He bothered me immensely, because it's the Dabo thing. I hate the sanctimonious... And now, looking back on it, maybe my hatred for Coach K was maybe a bit much, because he did seem like a pretty good guy. But you know how I hate the sanctimonious guy that pretends Roy Williams is it falls into this category.
They're all like that.
I hate the dude that like bashes the system, but it's the Lance Armstrong theory. Like Lance Armstrong competed in the dirtiest sport ever and yet expected us to believe that he was clean and was better than everyone else that was cheating. That's the sort of BS that Dabo and Coach K and these idiots like this throw out there. John Wooden had a little bit of this. It was before my time, but like people that worship at the grail of John Wooden. And I get why, you know, the pillars of success and all that. And he supposedly was a great man. That was one of the dirtiest programs of all time. Like, dude, they were paying for abortions and buying players and cars and apartments and all the stuff that we bash everyone else for. And yet Wooden somehow gets absolved of all of it. And that's Coach K. You're telling me in the world of college basketball, as dirty and as cheating ass as it is, we're expected to believe that every one of those kids went to Duke without any money, without any sort of professional women, without any sort of academic fraud. And they were better than everyone else that was cheating. And they did it clean because Coach K put out that, we don't do that here. Horse crap. And that sort of, just the Dabo Sweeney, oh, we build our program at NIL, name, image, and likeness of the Lord. You had Deshaun Watson on your team. F off. That was not built on any... I'm sure Deshaun Watson was a real man of the Lord at those massage parlors.
A lot of people texting in Pete Carroll.
I can see people hating Pete.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Gum chomping Pete Carroll? Yeah. Yeah, no question.
Because he was so good at USC.
Absolutely. And also for Niner fans in Seattle, like, didn't like him much.
Yes.
Very successful.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good one.
100%.
He's got that old man swagger, you know, that you're like, dude, stop. You're wearing Monarchs, but it works for him.
And it's funny because from an outsider with no dog in the fight, I loved Pete. I loved the chomping gum and, you know, it was a lot.
He's not really in my life anymore. I'm like, he's great. I love him. But again,
because I liked that he kind of embraced the seedy side of it. It's why I liked some of those Miami coaches. I don't mind if you are a cheating ass bastard, as long as you just kind of, it's the Charles Barkley thing. Just be who you are. There was some of my favorite college football teams ever. And it's weird because I could never have played for a team like this. I wouldn't have wanted to be around any of their players, but those Miami teams, I loved that they were the villain, embraced the villain role, and were like, yeah, we don't care. And Pete Carroll and USC had a little bit of that. Hey, Snoop Dogg and Will Ferrell, you want to come to our practice? Yeah. We're not going to close it. You know, everyone else does the closed media stuff. Pete was like, we'll invite anyone to anything that wants to come see what we're doing. Here's what we're going to do. Try to beat us. I love that sort of swagger and boldness as opposed to the, oh, it's just, you know, we're just here doing
it's
our own.
It's kind of what they needed.
Yeah.
And it worked for him. But you're right. I can see a lot of people
easily
not liking
hateable.
Him. Yeah. He was certainly polarizing. All right. Up next, we'll tell you about this Oregon, reality show? The Oregon football reality show?
Docuseries.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
They're doing their own.
Yeah, they are. And we'll tell you about that when we get back. It is 4:15 on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Everything falls into place like the flip.
Okay, we're going to get to Jed Fish, the whole reason we were talking about him. I have audio, and we will talk about that and play that for you at 5:15. So set your swatch watches.
I forgot mine today.
To 5:15. We're going to get into Washington a little bit.
My watch would match your hat. I feel bad. I didn't.
Yeah, I've got a red hat on today. Did you think I was wearing a MAGA hat
when
I walked in?
That's orange.
Oh, is it?
I think it's red.
Is that red?
It has an orangish tinge, but it would be, I would say, more red than orange.
I'm going to go red.
Lately, I've been really struggling, I guess, between the, I have a Jordan hat that I 100% thought was orange, and I've had like a bunch of people now tell me it's red.
You're colorblind.
Can I not distinguish between orange and red? Because that to me is 100% orange.
Well, I think we've got, I smell a color test.
Yeah.
What color is this shirt?
That's red.
Okay, that is red.
Yeah, that looks red.
But that looks like the top of my Gatorade bottle to me.
Oh, no.
That looks very similar.
You can put them next to each other.
We will.
I know that that's a different color orange, but that hat, is that like Spanish Bay or someplace that you played?
Oh, this is from the Hay, which is the par 3 course at Pebble.
Oh, okay.
The new one that Tiger built. My close personal friend, Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I bought that.
Cool hat. I just really thought it was orange. I digress.
I picture it as red.
Okay.
I do. So anyway... I know what we're going to do here. So we'll get to Jedfish 515, Joey Harrington 530. You know the routine. But Oregon has they dropped a little trailer for a sort of Hard Knocks type of thing that they're going to do internally.
Yeah, and it'll just be on their social media channels.
Yeah, it's called That Team Out West.
Can I just say, one, I saw the trailer for it. They did a really nice job with it. I love that Oregon is trying to play the underdog role again, that no one knows who they are. They're just the team. You're picked second or third in the country.
They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins.
When can we stop with the no one knows who you are? Like, what?
Well, what would you want them to? Because doesn't every coach
play
this card? Like,
no one knows who we are.
I mean, that's kind of how you have to flip the script. You have to make your team feel like an underdog or slide it in some way, and you get more out of them that way.
They got Joel Klatt in the preview being like, everyone thinks about Oregon is just some like finesse team and flash. Couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, that is true, though.
I do think that perception exists.
That
they're more speed and style than they are big bullies.
That is still a thing, particularly with fans. I think teams know that they've gotten much tougher.
Teams have a better idea, but fan bases may not.
But I think, you know, going into the Big Ten, I do think there's that stigma with Big Ten fans that, it's like Iowa fan or Wisconsin fans go, we're going to punch those little ninnies in the mouth.
Except, like, when Wisconsin came out and played them in the Rose Bowl, they lost. Ohio State, Oregon went into Ohio State and ran the ball down their throat.
Yeah, because they won those games doesn't mean that the soft label or not as tough. Because, you know, Big Ten, those guys think they're tougher than anybody.
Yeah.
Ground and pound.
They play in the cold.
And yeah.
They punt the ball a lot.
So
we got punts.
So, I mean, look, you're Dan Lanning. You got to use anything you can to get them. Because you are the hunted this year. You're not the hunter. You're the hunted. Yeah. And that's a different, I mean, that's.
And the name of the series is, and I guess I appreciate them leaning into that. It's called That Team Out West. As if everyone in the Big Ten is just saying That Team Out West.
Well, and people say it's maybe a shot at Ohio State specifically, because they always are referred to Michigan as That Team Up North. So that's like, I don't know, it'd be an insult to them for stealing their little moniker.
Okay. God, pushing buttons again. Oregon?
Well, he says, and Lanning says in the little trailer, he goes, we don't mind pushing buttons.
Yeah, he said that on the Pat McAfee show. He said, we don't mind ruffling feathers, getting people all fired. I'm not sure that's the best play, but okay. I mean, I see why they're cocky right now. They got they got a lot of swagger. They got a lot of stuff going for them.
Now you just got to win.
Exactly. See, I think you get cocky once you start winning, not before. I mean, not that they haven't been winning. I just mean...
Yeah, they haven't won anything.
Exactly.
In 2 years under Dan Lanning, as good as they've been, and they're building a ton of momentum, again, Washington fan will be quick to remind you, what have you won exactly? Oh, yeah, nothing.
Well, we put a duck in a river, so, you know.
And not just a duck, a giant one. Giant duck.
I'll tell you what, the Ducks are quickly trending towards being the most hated team in the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They're already kind of that guy.
Yeah.
And that... I don't know. It doesn't jive with my sensibilities, but I get it.
I did say, and this is where I can appreciate like what Oregon's doing. If you go full villain, I said just last break, one of my favorite eras of college football were those two, is the 80s, and then we had the resurgence in the late 90s, those Miami teams. The, what was it, like the Seventh Floor Crew, like with Ed Reed and all those guys, and then the original ones with Jimmy Johnson. I don't mind when someone does... their own thing. I don't mind when someone just says,
yeah,
hey, you know what? Screw convention. Screw, you know, the trying to play nice and no bulletin board material. F you. We're going to do it our way, and we're going to come into your house, and we're going to kick your ass and do something about it. Now, I will say it's also hilarious when it backfires. One of the great bits of all time in college football was before basically the de facto national title game, Vinny Testaverde, Jerome Brown, that Miami team, they were set to play Penn State, boring-ass Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl, and they were having a big team dinner where the teams were supposed to dine together. And Miami waited for Penn State to sit down in their shirt and tie at the tables, and Miami all came in army fatigues.
Oh, yeah, they got off the plane in army fatigues.
They all dressed up in army fatigues, and I don't remember. I think it might have been Jerome Brown or Vinny, one of the leaders of the team, went to the front of the ballroom,
Space Force,
and said, basically, Patton didn't sit down with the enemy before World War or whatever. We're not sitting down with you. Drop the mic, and Miami got up and left.
It's in that the U
yes.
documentary. Yeah, they all marched in, made one statement, and marched out.
Oh, no.
The only problem was...
That's stupid.
Penn State beat.
What was the score?
It was close. DJ Joser scored a touchdown right at the end, and there was like a big fumble. But yeah, Penn State got him, which again... I don't mind. Like, hey, you're going to go in and you're going to talk your ass. Now you just got to go back it up. And those Miami teams are really good. But what I love about that is that when you get a villain, if Oregon leans into this and just does the, I don't care. Dude, we're coming in to not ask permission. We're kicking down the damn door.
You're talking your own!
It's great because if you back it up, you're just a John Wick mother effer that came in there and assassinated everybody. And if not, it's still entertaining because then you look like an ass clown and you go into the Big Ten and you get your ass kicked. There's still a great story there of like, well, the bravado.
You get clown until you figure it out.
Exactly. Like, so either way, I think it's great theater. And I appreciate when we have great villains. And I'm not saying Oregon's going full villain, but I like the leaning into ruffling feathers.
They kind of are a villain no matter what. Like a text on the Vancouver Four text line says, even Oregon fans have to acknowledge how Oregon is more hateable than the average team because new money, rich owner, built on flash, et cetera, in the uniform thing. Yeah. It's true. I mean, even if they weren't cocky themselves, like they said all the right things and were really buttoned up, there's a lot about that program that other schools, and it comes from jealousy, make no mistake, but other programs they dislike.
Yeah.
So you're right. They're leaning into it. We'll see if it pays off. Bold strategy. I don't know. But their bit is called That Team Out West. Yeah. And they're gonna drop a new one on their social media channels each Tuesday in August. So there will be four episodes in all.
I'll watch them.
It'll cover camp. I will too. I love stuff like this. Yeah. And now look, it's gonna be super sanitized.
Oh yeah, and make Dan Lanning look like the king of the world, and Oregon to be the toughest team in the world. But it will be entertaining to watch.
I did say that, or I saw an interview with the guy who did it. One of the video guys there, and he said, you know, we do get into some personal stories, like they go with Dan Lanning to his coach's retreat.
Yeah, the coach's retreat.
They go to with Dylan Gabriel. Didn't he take his offensive line
down to the beach? It looked like they were on the beach, kind of working out, maybe down with the Goonie rocks in the back.
Yeah, the whoever the video guy is said, yeah, we even in some cases followed kids home to when they were going back before camp and figured out things about their lives and stuff like that.
Now, so. See, I think that's cool.
Yeah. Me too.
Not just promotional, but getting to know. Yeah. I think that's really smart move.
And one of my favorite things is Lanning has the great clip that gets played all the time of, they're fighting for clicks.
You're talking your ass!
We're fighting for clicks! We're fighting for wins!
No one's fighting for clicks more than Oregon, and they do a great job with it.
No, Colorado's fighting for clicks. More clicks.
More clicks. Oregon is doing a really, really good job the brand. The difference is that the Oregon doesn't suck. Colorado does.
Well, and I also think it's Lanning.
They do a good job.
Lanning is, he's embracing it. He's letting him do it. You know, I just don't think Cristobal would really be all into this.
Well, both.
We just rolled, brother.
This is a great point. And I'm not saying this out of revisionist history or because we talked to Dan Lanning. Because we talk to Mario Cristobal every week. And we've talked to Dan Lanning every week. From a neutral observer, oh my God, Dan Lanning is both are red asses, both are very intense. Dan Lanning is 1,000 times more likable and personable than Mario Cristobal. It's not even close. It's not even close. And so I enjoy Coach Lanning, and I think what Oregon's doing is fun. I just think sometimes it's the messages get a little crossed, but that's okay. You know, in this era, what you're doing is working, because in today's college football world, you really do have to fight for clicks, because look, recruiting is a popularity
and
contest.
He knows that's why Lanning.
Yes.
That's why he's all about it.
Yeah, and those battles get won and lost on social media now. They just do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot remember a football season of college that I was more excited about than this one.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
This is going to be really fun.
Yeah, let's go.
And Kansas is going to win it all.
Hey,
what?
Hey. When did you?
Because they're pretty good.
What did you predict? Was it the 2030? When was the national
2075.
Title? 2075.
Are you on board just the a little slow ahead, rolling train?
A little ahead of schedule, but you know.
Hey, we're going to be pretty good this year. Big 12 is going to be fun too, because it's like, they're all the same. All the teams are the same.
There was an article today saying that the Big 12 is so wide open. In fact, I think Utah, if I'm not mistaken, is picked to win it.
Plus 300.
Yeah.
All right. In the news is coming up next. After football, basketball, and baseball, what sport are Oregonians betting on the most? That's next. Here's Buck. All right. You know the routines. Friday, we've got Hot 5 and 5 coming up. It won't be at 5:41 today like it was yesterday.
We hope not.
5:15. We will talk about Jed Fish, complete with audio. 5:30, Joey Harrington, 6 o'clock, Club 1080. Right now, it is August 2nd, 2024. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted and beloved newsman. Thank you, America. It's International Beer Day.
Oh.
You having a beer?
I will. Jerry's Tavern after the show. Come join me.
It is also Dinosaur Day.
But I will not be drinking international beer.
Well, I just think that means it's beer day everywhere, right? Like, you can still celebrate American beer.
Or in America, it could be International Beer Day, where you're supposed to drink international.
Well, they've got hams on tap, so there'll be a nice cold hams coming my way about 7:05. What else? Dinosaurs?
Yeah, dinosaur day. Well, favorite dinosaur?
Stegosaurus.
Nice.
Possibly the pterodactyl.
Is Stegosaurus the four-legged one with the...
Yeah, it's got the spikes.
The horns, yeah.
Or no, that's the triceratops.
That's the triceratops.
It has the spine with plates.
Spine of peaks, it's got the spiky tail on the back.
Nice.
Always liked the Stegosaurus, but I was always a little jealous of the... I don't think the pterodactyl gets enough love. And I'm going to make a bold statement here. The most terrifying dinosaur is indeed the pterodactyl. Because while the T-Rex or whatever, at least I'm on the land, right? I can move a little bit. I can see it coming from a distance away. Imagine something the size of a medium plane dive bombing you and then grabbing you.
Yeah. It's the closest thing to the dragons of Dragons and Game of Thrones.
Yes. And how do you, like, what do you do as you're running? Imagine, like, as scary, like when you watch a bald eagle swooping down on something. Again, now make it the size of a medium plane and it's coming after you.
And what do you do?
Nothing. You kiss your
Take
ass.
Take cover.
Yeah.
Do you climb a tree? Do you...
I think you try to hide in the woods.
Find a cave?
But if you're in the open air, like if you're just through a field and all of a sudden you see like a shadow above you, I don't like that. And that thing can hide. The T-Rex can't hide. I see where that thing's coming from. Now, the pterodactyl, it's sneaky, underrated. It's a 1-2... I don't know. Depending on the day, I may flip to the pterodactyl.
So we have sports gambling in Oregon. Came around in 2019, maybe?
Just got a bunch of dumb rules.
Something like that. Anyway, there was an article on KGW today, and it was ranking the sports that Oregonians are betting on. And so they got some data. Oregon Lottery provided the data through a public records request.
And we can't bet on college, so that's why I said it's...
Yeah. And this is just 2023, but after professional football, basketball, and baseball, which stands to reason...
Sure.
Do you know what the next most bet sport is in Oregon?
Assuming soccer?
Nope. Try again.
We can't bet on college. It's not going to be hockey.
This guy might be interested.
Bring your ass.
Bring your ass.
I see y'all motherfuckers for game 7.
Who is that?
That's Anthony Edwards.
That's right.
The hell is Anthony? Oh, BS.
Yep.
You're telling me it's ping pong?
Yep.
Yep.
Table tennis.
Get the hell out of here.
It is.
What? Huh?
Are you asking why?
I am.
Good question, Jason.
I am baffled.
Yeah, it's table tennis. So here's what it says.
Talk to me.
Oregonians wagered $57 million on table tennis, up from $18.5 million in 2022. The question is, why?
It is a good question.
It is the
I'd like to ask.
Fourth biggest draw for sports gamblers in Oregon. They quoted this guy, Dr. Ken Pendleton of the University of Oregon's Warsaw Sports Marketing Program. He says there are three different live matches going on right now. The lineup of matches runs around the clock with a new contest starting every few minutes. Unlike other sports, there's almost always action. Matches don't last long, and in-game betting lines change fast. He says it's like the crack cocaine of sports gambling.
I was going to say, it's for the addicts. It's like finding the bar that never closes.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, look at it right here. Yeah.
One of the biggest bets was placed on February 2nd, 2023. A sports bettor in Oregon put $35,000 on a match between two relatively unknown players in a barren gymnasium in Poland. The 14-minute-long match was played at 10:30 a.m. their time or 1:30 a.m. here, and the bet paid, cashing $41,000.
So what we're learning is the key to gambling is just having something to gamble on. That's it.
Well, I think for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the key to gambling. But for a lot of people, they need the fix.
Well, I will say there have been times where I've gone and watched like a UFC, and not even like one of the big pay-per-views, just like a UFC fight night at my buddy's house. And we do, with knowing nothing about the, and I mean nothing.
Do like blind betting, like I'm picking that one?
Yeah, we'll sit there and we'll live bet the event while drinking large amounts of whiskey, and we have a grand old time.
I think the bookie loves that.
I knew a guy in college who would lose his like NBA bets or his football bets or whatever, and then he would chase them at night with sports going on the other side of the world, like judo or taekwondo.
You're literally just sitting there and you watch the guys walk to the ring. You're like, I don't like the way that guy looks.
So
that guy can't, and then you're just gambling off it. So
another key here is that apparently the matches are streamed on YouTube. So if you're watching or if you're trying to bet on like Korean soccer,
yeah,
good luck finding that.
But these you can find.
And that's another reason. There are no announcers and no fans. They just have a live stream of you watching the players.
Is it wrong now that I kind of want to bet on Eastern European table tennis now?
Well, there's something to it.
I'm at least going to try to find the YouTube streams.
Well,
you got to do some homework.
Is this racist that I'm just going to bet on the Asian person?
I mean...
Well, like the Anthony Edwards clip going on there, that Anthony Edwards was talking about the U.S. Table tennis team, how about he thinks he could score a point on him. And then we were looking up the U.S. table tennis team. They're all Asians. I'm like, that's all I know. I don't know what happens when two Asians play each other, but if I'm watching a table tennis match, you know what? I'm betting on the Asian.
But isn't there a guy... Did I see a story about a guy who's dominating in table tennis at the Olympics and he's not Asian? He's like Turkish or something?
That I don't know.
I think there's a young guy who's, I guess, like a sensation. And he is not Asian.
Well, I can tell you the ITTF Table Tennis World Rankings. Would that do anything for
you?
Does
it look like an LPGA leaderboard?
I will tell you that the number one is Wang Chung.
Come on.
By the way, Isaac, you were right. There's a Brazilian named Hugo Calderano, who's the first non-Asian table tennis semifinalist of the Olympics ever.
He's not even ranked in the top five.
But
he's made the semis at the Olympics.
He's doing it on the biggest stage, bro.
So my man Wang, I guess.
Wang Chung.
And then I got Liang Jingkong. And then I got Mao Long. Fan Zedong. Number five.
Go down the
list.
We
got a Frenchman.
Okay.
Felix Lebrun.
Oh, Lebrun.
He's number five.
All right. Well.
So fourth. And then when we go to the women's rankings, then I give you Sung Ying She. I give you Wang Man Yu. I give you Wang De. Then I give you Chang Ming. And then I give you Hina Hatiara. So
I'm guessing that's not right.
No, but let me just point out that the top five male and female players in the world, there's one non-Asian person in that ranking.
Yeah, I get it.
And that's my man Felix.
In unrelated news, did you see the divers who...
By the way, Hugo is number six, I guess. So there you go.
The divers' last names. What was it, Buck? Long Wang?
That's right.
Long Wang.
Did you see that?
No, but that's good times.
And so they were a team, and so they had to write Long Wang on the on the graphics.
I love it.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun.
Isn't that good old wholesome American fun right there?
So, yes, of the top 10, the two, we have Felix LeBron and then that Hugo bro. So 5 and 6 in the world, non-Asian. The rest, Asians. A couple Germans.
Do you want to know what the average single bet on table tennis was? Now, I'll give you some perspective on this. NFL football, the average bet in Oregon is $24.
Okay.
So $34 on Major League Baseball and $41 on NBA. Average bet for table tennis?
$52.
$66.
Bless America.
Yeah, it's a thing, man.
Can I just say to every one of you degenerates gambling on table tennis in the middle of the night, you are fantastic.
I wish I'd known about this during my parental leave. It would have been perfect.
Seriously, this is great. And as someone that doesn't sleep a lot and finds things to do in the middle of the night, I can't believe I haven't been privy to this before now.
Yeah, although they're saying that
with my whole bet on the Asian, this is going to be problematic because they're all Asian.
Well, they've had some problems with match fixing in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not entirely on the up and up.
Well, I'm not betting on the Ukrainians.
And well, most of it's in Eastern Europe, though. That's where they play. But they said another contributing factor to why it's so popular is, remember during COVID, like sports gambling came here, I think, in 2019.
Yeah.
And then COVID, everything shut down, and the only thing you could bet on was this.
Yeah.
And so people were betting on this right and left, and it's just kind of stuck.
I bet on Korean baseball. Yeah, it was the first major sport to come back.
Yeah, I bet on a couple Korean baseball games. By the way, you know, I mentioned Felix LeBron, the highest-ranked non-Asian. His brother, Alex LeBron, also in the top 20. Apparently, the LeBruns of France are the up-and-comers.
Wouldn't it be cool if they named him James?
James LeBron.
James LeBron.
I like where we're going with that.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
All right, in the news continues next, we have street takeovers happening this weekend, and the cops are warning you, stay away. 446 on the Fan. The bottom line's been snorted. The bottom card's been dealt. Who is this? No one
knows. Old 97. Like, you know,
right? Suit's favorite band, or one of them.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I like them. But I cannot stand how he says, snorted. Wasted. What are you, the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
And you may not like their music because they definitely do some of that inflection. Rhett Miller, their lead singer.
This is August 2, 2024 in the news. We've got big street takeover news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Wait, who's taking over what?
Well, apparently they call it the West Coast Invitational. It is illegal, but last year it drew out as many as 1,000 drivers and spectators in Portland. And police are warning of a similar deal on a similar scale this weekend.
Okay. What's it called? West Coast?
It's called the West Coast Invitational.
West Coast Invitational. What are we inviting?
Well, it's a large-scale street takeover.
But, like, what are they...
Well, you know, they do, like, donuts and S.
Oh, okay.
You know, like how they do the... You never seen that?
Well, I mean, I don't...
Where they speed race and they do their donuts and all the...
By the way, I saw an update to your guy up in, was it Seattle, the black cat who was going to court with his loud muffler guy?
Yeah.
Street racing guy? I think the judge banned him from Instagram because he wouldn't stop.
F that guy.
Did he get banned from Instagram?
I'll look it up.
So it is an illegal event. It bills itself as the annual competition called the West Coast Invitational. It drew participants from across Oregon, Washington, California, and Idaho to Portland last summer. It may have involved as many as 1,000 drivers and spectators. The police say, we anticipate this to be a significant event this weekend here in Portland. Obviously, it involves vehicles, so it could go to other jurisdictions. They are saying, just go around. Avoid it.
Yeah, it said last year the result ended in one homicide, two shootings, and a fatal crash.
Yeah.
Huh. Can I ask if
if
we know it's coming and it's illegal?
Totally. Can we not stop it?
Can we not go stop it?
It's weird.
Maybe it's the type of deal where they don't announce the location until...
Yeah, but here's the thing. When 1,000 people show up to something in the city and on a street...
And they all have a certain type of car.
Can we not just send the police and then arrest people?
You fool.
I don't know. I mean, I got a buddy that's a cop, and I want to text him, but I know he's going to give me some sort of snarky BS response. But it fascinates me. Like, if I said today on the air that I was going to gather 1,000 people tonight and I was going to be like, hey, we're going out to, we're heading out to, I don't know, wherever. I'm going out to Burnside, going down there, and we're going to cause a bunch of mayhem and ruckus, and someone's probably going to get shot, and we'll have a bunch of hookers and guns and fire trucks and blackjack. It's going to be awesome. Wouldn't it just be easier for the Portland police to be like, well, we'll just be there too, and then it's done? Because once you arrest like a handful of people, doesn't that kind of disperse the fun? Because then no one wants to get arrested?
They said that in the past, they've struggled to find ways to safely break these up because they're large crowds, the atmosphere is wild, and they have low staffing levels at PPB. So it's just a lot to, like, you got to bring in a lot of coppers.
Yeah, I'm looking here at the Portland Peace Bureau spokesman who says, because of all the things that occur, because of that, the Police Bureau cannot and will not idly stand as out-of-towners and even those in our community use our streets as a playground for criminal behavior. Exactly. Just, I don't get why you can't stop this. That doesn't, I may be an ignorant boob. Let me try. I am an ignorant boob. I just don't understand why this is so hard to curtail. But I'm not a cop.
Yeah, it is kind of mixed message. I'm reading his quote. He says, the appearance that this is happening unchecked is unacceptable. That's why it's so important that we be out there and we engage and that we send a message that this is not going to be tolerated. Granted, I readily admit that none of us can do it all. None of us can do it all on our own or even all together. If we get 1,000 people or 500 people, whatever the case may be, it's going to be challenging. But we're 100% committed, even if it's just one person at a time and one arrest at a time.
Well, like it said that they'll use law enforcement partners from Gresham and Vancouver. So let me just, how about this? Bring a bunch of spike strips. Bring a bunch of tow trucks. Start towing people's cars and impounding them. And my guess is that people that love their cars that are coming from there, they'll go somewhere else. Is that like the worst plan in the world?
Yeah, I mean, do you have to pay for, I mean, who pays for all the tow trucks?
Isn't that better than having the streets and people murdered and shot and then, you know?
No, I say roll out SWAT. Oh, all right. Take them out.
Are tow trucks like that's
tear gas.
That's where we draw the line with our city's expenses. We can't pay for tow trucks. We can't tow a couple hundred cars?
I don't know, dude. You're asking the wrong guy.
Oh, I just sometimes, and like I said, I'm open to the idea that I'm completely off base. Just sometimes.
Well, he said they're going to try. It's just hard.
I don't. Is it really that hard?
It's hard. It's like radio sales. I'm coming hard. It's hard.
1,000 people doesn't seem that much. I like, again, you get enough people together, you ain't stopping it, but 500 to 1,000 people? Is that really?
Like, yeah, that's where the hard dudes are.
That's beyond our capabilities. We can't control.
National Guard.
We can't
control
1,000 people.
Somebody said the cops have real fear of these people. The numbers alone are overwhelming.
Yeah. All right, well. So just watch out for the. So if you're like cruising around and then all of a sudden you see like a bunch of like jacked up Honda Civics, like be terrified and just leave, right?
That's what I would do. Yeah. I'm not messing with that, no, dude. I'm going out. I'm out. I'm turning around.
I got nothing. You know, hey, I ain't getting shot.
Well, I don't even know, but I just don't want to be held up in traffic.
That's a good point.
Because they're doing their bullsh.
I don't even know where they like. Where do they do that at? I'm assuming you need like big enough spots.
Who knows? Who effing knows?
Some of the bars downtown, like there's like motorcycle bars where you can see the aftermath. People do like the cookies, like right side of Kelly's. They've got the big, everyone gets together in their motorcycles and they do the swirlies there. You can see the big burnout marks all there.
So that's
maybe,
in the news.
Start there. Just show up there.
That's in the news. August 2nd, 2024. We've got to get to the Hot 5 at 5. Some Olympic updates for you and the latest on the Seahawks quarterback. And if you thought you were getting a dime from that judgment on the NFL Sunday ticket, you thought wrong. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.